Often we find common phrases or things that we seem to know what they mean, and we say, ah, that's what this means, even though they're not necessarily always understood. So there's a concept that comes up in this week's parasha, in this aliyah, that is sometimes misunderstood. We start with in Shlishi, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashenit l'Tzeitam Eretz Yitzrayim. This is the second year after they've come out of Mitzrayim. B'Chodesh HaRishon Neymar. So this is the first month in the second year that they've come out of Mitzrayim. And we're already in Bahalotcha in Perek Tet. However, if you look at the very beginning of Bamidbar, when does the beginning of Bamidbar take place? It says, "Daber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Omoed be'echad l'chodesh hasheni b'shana hashenit." This happens in the first month of the second year, but in the beginning of the Sefer, we start with the second month of the second year. Sounds a little bit out of order. Shouldn't we have started with this month? Meaning, if we go in chronological order, we should be starting with this perek, the Sefer, and then afterwards only get to the part, which is the next month of the second year, the second month. So Rashi, of course, picks up on this and says the following thing. He says, "Parshas Berosha Sefer Lo Nemra Adyar Lamata She'ein Seder Mukdam Umuchar BaTorah." Right, so this famous idea that there is no Seder and no order in the Torah. So one has to be careful when you hear this phrase. It doesn't mean that there's no order in the Torah. There's obviously an order. It means there's no chronological order, according to Rashi, or at least sometimes the Torah will go out of chronological order, but it does have an order. The question is, of course, what is the order? What is the reason why we actually have this story that happened before the beginning of the Sefer? Why does it only come up now in Perek Tet? So Rashi explains. He says, "V'lama lo patach b'zu." So why doesn't it actually go according to chronological order here? It says, "Mipnei shugnutan shel Yisrael." Because it's a disgrace for Am Yisrael. Why? "Shekol 40 shana shayu Yisrael b'midbar lo ikrivu ala pesach ze bilvad." Because the entire 40 years that they were in the desert, this was the only Korban Pesach that they brought in the second year. This was the only one that was that they brought. So that's the gnut of Am Yisrael. There's a problem here. Why didn't they bring a Korban Pesach the rest of the time? They had 40 years in the desert. Why didn't they bring a Korban Pesach the next year? So, go back to Sefer Shemot, and you look in Rashi, he explains when it talks about Tzperek Yudbet Pasuk Chafei, Vaya Kitavo, Tala Katuv Mitzvah Zu B'Viatam La'aretz V'lo Nitchayvu B'Midbar La Pesach Echad Shenasu B'Shana Shanit Al Pi Hadibur. So Rashi says that the only mitzvah of Korban Pesach that they had in the desert was this specific commandment in the second year when they were in the desert. They weren't commanded the rest of the time. They didn't have to bring the Korban Pesach the rest of the time. So in fact, they shouldn't have had to bring it. So why is this the gnut if they didn't have to bring the Korban Pesach? Rav Sussman touched on this yesterday, and I'm going to expand. But before you do that, so there's a couple of possible answers. One possible answer is, Tosfot and Kedushin says, wait a second. They brought it in the second year in the desert because God commands them to bring it in the second year in the desert. Why do they not bring it the rest of the time? Okay, so they're not chayav. But why are they there in the first place? Why were they in the desert for the 40 years? Anybody? The head of the miragler. So the gnut of Am Yisrael is that they were in fact in the desert for 40 years in the first place. Yes, they weren't chayav until they got to Eretz Yisrael. But they should have been in Eretz Yisrael way earlier. The fact that they were in the desert for 40 years, perhaps, is the gnut of Am Yisrael. But there's another possibility. So I heard this from Rabbi Yamin Goldsmith from in the name of the Babich Rebbe, but I'm going to take it a little differently. He says, and in fact, by the way, there's many mitzvot that they didn't do. There were many mitzvot that they didn't have to do until they got to Eretz Yisrael. So why specifically this? So we see in this parsha that there were people who wanted to bring this korban even when they couldn't, right? And that was how we got to Pesach Sheni. They didn't have to bring the korban; they were patur. So why did they end up complaining? Because they wanted to do the mitzvah. It wasn't a question of whether they had to; it was a question of whether they wanted to. And even more so, and I think this is what differentiates this mitzvah from all the other mitzvot, is that they had already a taste of the Korban Pesach. This wasn't a mitzvah to Leav Haaretz when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they have a field, then they have to, you know, leave Peah. This was a mitzvah that they already had. This is the second time that they had. They already tasted what Korban Pesach was. They knew this mitzvah. They knew this mitzvah. They should want that mitzvah. You don't have to be chayiv to do something, but you should want to do the mitzvah the rest of the time. Just because they weren't chayiv doesn't mean that they couldn't, just like the people who couldn't bring the Korban Pesach that year, complained and said, why can't we bring it? Give us a chance to bring it. And they, because of that, we had Pesach Sheni. So the same thing could have happened. That was a small little number of people. So imagine all of Am Yisrael says to Moshe, find us a way to give the Korban Pesach every year. We should be able to give it every year. And I think that's something that I mentioned when I met with the MTA earlier about what kind of attitude you have in Kaitzman, right? It's not about being, I know this is going to sound crazy, it's not about doing things 100%. It's about doing things 110%. It's not about, what do I have to do? It's 10 o'clock. Is the tish mandatory or optional? Who cares? You have a taste of that already. You want to be there. If you want to be there, so then the question of whether you have to doesn't matter. Mandatory, optional doesn't matter. The question is, what is your desire? Do you want to strive for excellence? Or you just want to do what you have to do? So you want to do what you have to do. That already we see from this story that was the Gnut of Am Yisrael. That they didn't want to do more than what they had to do. They just left it at the bare minimum. And in fact, 100% is the minimum, not the maximum. That's our starting point. The assumption is you're going to be at everything. The assumption is you're going to be 100%. But you want to really show what your desire is. You want to show that you understand, because you've had a taste of it already, that you're passionate about something. Something that you're passionate about, you don't do 100%. You do 120%. So what if they cancel practice? So you go to the gym and you practice anyhow. That's when we show that we really love something and we're passionate about something. That was the Gnut of Am Yisrael, that they didn't show their desire, that they didn't show that they wanted 110%. So Bezrat Hashem, as we head into the transition between now and tomorrow when we start, Kaitzman, and I already said this 3 weeks ago, I said, Kaitzman starts already, right? So what are you doing today? How are you going to spend today? You don't have to be in the Beit Midrash today. There's no official classes today. So what? You love Torah, so take some time. Don't have to learn the whole day. Get a little rest before you start tomorrow, right? But start now. Make sure that today you started learning. Kaitzman starts already now. So have a good Kaitzman.